Over the past couple of years, the U.S. military has focused more than ever on preventing civilian casualties in Afghanistan. Every civilian death is seen as a setback in a war to win a political contest as well as a military one. Yet despite all the efforts, civilian deaths continue. Hundreds of Afghans have been killed every year since 2001. NPR's Jackie Northam reports on the consequences of incidents like this.
In the early morning hours of February 12th, it was quiet at Haji Sharabuddin's house in Kataba, a village in the eastern Afghan province of Paktia. Earlier in the evening, there had been a party celebrating the birth of another grandson. A few men stayed up to talk. Around 4 a.m., they heard a sound. Sharabuddin says it was U.S. Special Forces.
The Special Forces climbed our roof. One of my son went out to see what happened. They shot him without asking anything.
Sharabuddin says another son, hearing the shots, ran outside.
He went out and told the forces what's happening. Why are you shooting? We are government officials. Then they killed my second son too. They also killed three women. They bring complete disaster and misery to our home. They left a big number of orphans for me. I am absolutely broken.
Two of the females killed in the raid were pregnant. The third was just a teenager. One of the sons who died was a policeman, the other a district prosecutor. First accounts of the incident by the NATO-led International Security Assistance Force, or ISAF, indicated that U.S. Special Forces arrived after the family members had been killed by insurgents. At the time, a press release by ISAF described it as a gruesome find. But over the past 2 months, after two investigations, a different story has unfolded about what happened that night, says ISAF spokesman U.S. Army Colonel Wayne Shanks.
There were some unfortunate casualties, and we have determined that, yes, we did kill civilians there. However, we want to figure out why that happened. What were the actions that were taken? What were the precautions that should have been taken there?
Now there is yet another investigation to determine if U.S. Special Forces tampered with evidence at Sharabuddin's home, as some local officials claim. That includes digging bullets out of the victims' bodies. Colonel Shanks.
Now, I can't really get into specifics of it, but so far, what we have learned in our initial investigation did not show that. However, at this point in the game, everything is being relooked.
In the meantime, a top U.S. Special Forces commander visited Sharabuddin, asking for forgiveness, offering him two sheep and roughly $30,000 in compensation. Last year, General Stanley McChrystal, the top U.S. commander in Afghanistan, laid down stringent new rules of engagement in a bid to minimize civilian casualties. He reduced the number of airstrikes, which accounted for more than 60% of civilian deaths. Rachel Reed with Human Rights Watch in Kabul says that has helped.
We did see in 2009 a slight reduction in the number of civilians being killed by US and NATO forces by about 25%, which brought it back down to 2007 levels. But we're still talking about hundreds of civilians dying, nearly 600 last year.
Reed says more needs to be done to limit the number of civilian casualties, particularly at roadside checkpoints, and when Afghan vehicles don't slow down or stop when told. Earlier this week, NATO troops opened fire on a vehicle in Khost province, killing four unarmed civilians, including three teenagers. Last week, a military convoy shot up a large passenger bus in the southern city of Kandahar, killing at least five civilians and wounding 18 others. That incident is still under investigation. ISAF and local officials say the bus was speeding. The convoy directed it to slow down. When it didn't, troops strafed the bus with bullets.
It's very hard for people to now believe that you could not recognize a bus full of people and shoot it.
Nader Nadiri with the Afghanistan Human Rights Commission says incidents like this help feed conspiracy theories that abound in Afghanistan.
So if it happens once, it happens second, people can go away with these kind of justification. But if it happens so many times that it's difficult for people to believe it was just a miscalculation.
The bus shooting led to protests in Kandahar. Streets were blocked off, tires were burned, and hundreds of protesters chanted death to America. The incident came just as a U.S.-led offensive is getting underway in Kandahar, a major stronghold of the Taliban. There are concerns this type of incident could undermine public support for the mission. Already, Western and Afghan troops are conducting operations in the surrounding districts. Rachel Reed of Human Rights Watch says there are fears that the push into Kandahar will create even more civilian casualties.
When they move into areas, particularly residential areas, as they're doing at the moment in Kandahar province, they put civilians at risk because they are like a magnet for those anti-government elements who come in with their roadside bombs, with their suicide attacks.
The roadside bombs, known as IEDs, are the weapon of choice for the Taliban and other Islamist insurgents. Bijan Farnoudi, with the International Committee of the Red Cross, says already this year the number of injuries from IEDs and the like has soared by nearly 40% in Kandahar and Marja, where another U.S.-led offensive is underway. Farnoudi says it appears to be a trend occurring throughout the country.
There's more IEDs and improvised bombs and improvised mines being used today. And secondly, the IEDs and the mines tend to be heavier in load. So the IED used today carries more explosive load than the IED used 2 or 3 years ago.
A warm shaft of sunlight brightens this busy orthopedic center in Kabul, one of six run by the International Committee of the Red Cross throughout Afghanistan. Heavily veiled women wait patiently to receive or get fitted for prosthetics, usually to replace a leg. In the next room, roughly the same number of men wait their turn. Every month, at least 40 new patients show up here. 80% of the injuries are from IEDs laid by the Taliban. These people survived. But last year, the Taliban were blamed for killing more than 1,600 of their countrymen. That's nearly three times the number blamed on U.S. and NATO troops. And yet, there is little said about the Taliban's culpability. Nader Nadiri says people do hold the Taliban responsible, but the reaction is different.
They hold these forces, the U.S. and the international forces and the Afghan forces, they hold them to a higher standard. They expect them more to try to minimize civilian casualty.
And they feel safe enough demonstrating against Western troops. They don't feel safe, says Nadiri, when it comes to the Taliban, which intimidates, threatens, and kills anyone who opposes it. Colonel Shanks, the ISAF spokesman, says there's no question the Taliban kill a disproportionate number of civilians. But he says that only means the Western forces haven't been able to protect the people, which after all, he says, is the key element to the counterinsurgency strategy. Jackie Northam, NPR News, Kabul.